Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's Tuesday. That means 2 for Tuesday. You mean 2 for Tuesday? Get your requests in now. We'll play them later. It's one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Right now, though, we want to welcome back to the show for his monthly visit our good friend Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And he is here to talk about automotive news, stories, some of the stuff that's on the blog at consumerguide.com, and to answer any and all of your automotive or car-related questions. 312-981-7200. And let's welcome Tom to the show. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I am very well, thank you.
Good, 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 good. Good to hear from you. Tell everybody about Consumer Guide, as we do every month.
Yeah, thanks. ConsumerGuide.com. That is a wonderful website for folks who do all of their new car and used car shopping. We don't trace you or send you off to dealers. That's just a great place to do some research. Our blog, which you can get to from there, is the cgdailydrive.com blog. We try to have some fun with the auto news. We also go in depth on a lot of our test drives, and we look back at some really old and cool classic stuff as well.
Very cool. And we, you know, we obviously always talk about you know, some of the stuff that you've got up on the blog, and I cannot wait to get to the classic celebrity car commercials that you guys put up on the blog, because some of them are just magnificent. So
that was an excellent excuse for me to spend my day on YouTube.
Yeah. It's really funny, though. Really, really funny. So we'll describe some of these. I watched all of them. I cannot wait to talk to you about them. And again, as you said, you know, it's you know, celebrities are no strangers to car commercials.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, obviously right now, I guess it's the Matthew McConaughey ones that are kind of the most popular and the weirdest.
Yeah, that dude's been signed up again, so it's working. Lincoln thinks it's working.
Yeah, okay. There you go. I know that if I'm going to buy a car, I want to know about what Matthew McConaughey thinks of it. That's the thing.
First person I think of.
Exactly. Yeah. What are you driving? What have you been driving lately, Tom? I always start off with that.
I just picked up today the Lexus IS350 all-wheel drive F-Sport, which is a whole bunch of words.
Yeah.
This is Lexus's compact sedan. It's a very sporty thing, kind of a competitor for the BMW 3 Series. The version I have is about the most expensive version you can get. This is with the V6 engine instead of the turbo 4 with all-wheel drive and in sporty F-Sport trim. I like almost everything about this car except one depressing fact, and it's I really don't fit in this car. This is not a good vehicle for tall guys and really not a good vehicle for wide guys. And a lot of small Japanese and German rear-drive cars are like this. The door opening are incredibly small, so if you're a big guy, this may not be the car for you.
Okay. What were you driving before that?
I just spent some time in the redesigned Kia Soul. I think everyone knows what the Soul is by now. They've updated that for 2019. Fresh exterior trim, more safety equipment, and a new turbocharged. Well, the turbocharged engine was there before, but it's more widely available now, which makes the vehicle a lot of fun.
Okay. Very, very cool. And any other, what has everybody else been driving around in the office?
You know, we just got through the office, and I think people have seen ads for this, the Kia Telluride. Mm. This is Kia's new big crossover, and it does not disappoint. It is big and brawny looking. It's roomy inside, and surprisingly, we're getting pretty good fuel economy despite the thing's mass. We got about 20 miles per gallon, which is surprisingly good for a vehicle of this size.
Wow, that is good, man.
Yeah, it's just a very nice vehicle. Rides and handles very well.
Very cool. All right, we've already got a call here, Tom, before we get to some of the news stories that we want to get to.
Sure.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Greg on WGN. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
Good.
I am in my 50s, and for no reason at all, I feel an urge to get a pickup truck. I right now have a Chevy Bolt with a B, but when I was picking up the Bolt, I also saw the Chevy Colorado and thought that would be cool. So I really want you to just talk me out of it.
Well, Wow, Tom, I think this is the first time we've ever had a call where somebody wants to talk you out of buying a car.
I don't think I can do that. The Chevy Colorado is sort of a 7/8 scale Silverado, and it's just kind of a nice size vehicle. I actually like it a lot. It's been a Consumer Guide Best Buy for a bunch of years. Here's one way to kind of talk you out of that vehicle. If you don't need the brawn of that vehicle and perhaps want something a little bit simpler, the Honda Ridgeline is a truly excellent vehicle. And that deserves a look. It rides and handles a little bit better. Gets slightly better mileage. Not as brawny, but probably a better all-around driver.
Okay. All right. Well, Greg, good luck with that.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, man. Take care. All right. Let's get into some of these stories, and then we'll have some texts and some people calling in if they have automotive or car questions at 312-981-7200. So a big deal happened in terms of that have a story to do with red light traffic cameras, and this comes out of Texas. Governor Greg Abbott has actually banned the red light traffic cameras. This is a big deal, right?
It's a big deal because it is statewide.
Yeah.
It is a statewide ban. And this is an interesting story because there was a woman who way back in 2013, her name is Kelly Cannon, had received a $75 ticket for something she didn't believe she had anything to do with. And I think like most people who receive red light tickets, they're utterly baffled as to why, when, and where this whole thing happened and why they're out a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And they're really hard traditionally to fight. Well, she chose to fight it, and her campaign just snowballed, and she was able to have it out, get the lights outlawed in Arlington, Texas, which was a huge start. And once she had that kind of inertia behind her, she went on and led this huge campaign, but it finally went statewide, and I think that's huge.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a whole lot of actually energy fighting her. Apparently a couple police departments sort of bemoaned the fact, because apparently they kind of work. The stoplight cameras do work to reduce accidents in some cases. However, mostly they work to really, really annoy local residents.
Yeah, you know, it's been, I mean, obviously these things have been controversial since the day that they were, installed or announced or whatever you say. But, a lot of people think it's just another reason to get revenue, for the state to get money from us for no good reason. But there are people who do maintain that, in intersections near schools or churches or, places like that, that they have cut down on the accidents or the traffic. And so it's an interesting sort of argument that's happened since these things have been in existence.
It is. It's super hard not to be cynical, too, though, because there's so many stories about how at some municipalities where they wanted to juice the revenue, they would actually shorten the yellow light.
Yeah.
That's just incredibly cynical and purely revenue-driven.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think both sides have a decent argument here. I think it's like, I mean, some of these municipalities are using it to raise money and to just, get money from people. And others, are really concerned about the safety of people, in the streets and in the crosswalks.
Yeah, I know that a bunch of these were installed around Woodfield Mall in Schaumburg a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that ultimately retailers found them to be distressing to customers and not really good for business. And I think most of them are gone now.
Mm. Well, they've got some down here on Michigan Avenue. Right at Ontario when you're going to turn left off of Michigan to go west on Ontario to get on the on the Kennedy. There's one there because you can only go on the green arrow.
Okay.
And so if you go when it's green, there's your flash right there. But there's one there. There's one right over here when we turn on to Wacker to go to work. Right off of Michigan, that's another one. There's a red light one there, and I know there's a bunch downtown, but I'm not sure. I did stories on this. Obviously, this is a pretty popular topic to talk about on the air because there's so many sides to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I did do a story some time ago, actually detailing the numbers what it generated, and it's just kind of astonishing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a lot of money, and they've made it relatively difficult for people to appeal, and the fine itself is just low enough that maybe you don't chase after appealing it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it all adds up though, man. I mean, when I read some of the numbers, I was just kind of really shocked by just how much revenue comes in because of these cameras. And most people I know are anti red light traffic cameras. They hate them.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, I personally was burned by one in my neighborhood here, by the closest large intersection by us. I received a ticket twice in 2 weeks for doing something that, if a police officer was behind me, I would not have been ticketed. It's just that when I come to a stop, I start to make the turn as I'm stopping, and then that was enough to trigger the light, and then, yeah, that cost me $150.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
totally
crazy. It's all the, and you know what it really is I guess it's just people who roll through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And make their right, you know, but they don't come to a complete stop, and then they, you know, they make the right-hand turn, but they roll through. And I guess that's the most common violation.
Yep. Oh. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know people who just come to a complete stop and just sit there. just sit there. I know some people who don't turn right on red anymore in those intersections. They just won't do it, even if there's a car behind them honking.
Most of those people are in front of me in traffic.
All right, Tom, on that note, hold on a second, buddy.
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us, Consumer Guide Automotive, consumerguide.com. Follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And if you have any automotive or car-related questions, give us a call at 312-981-7200 for talk or text. More with Tom after the news, which is up after this. Welcome back. How's everybody doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. You mean 2 for Tuesday? That means get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about the big long streak that ended on Jeopardy yesterday. And then we're going to talk about the biggest winners in game show history. And then lots of invention talk. And gadget talk coming up later. And phone lines are open, 312-981-7200 for talk or text. Right now we're talking with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And if you want to jump in here with a question, we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200 for talk or text. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. We have another question here from a caller.
Okay.
Here's Scott. Go ahead, Scott.
Before I ask Tom his question, I just want to say, Nick, I love your show.
Thank you.
Your new producer, I don't know if you realize this, but you guys have like this harmony thing going. It's just a gas to listen to you
Thanks,
guys
man.
Talk to each other.
I gotta tell you, Scott, Tom and I have hit it off famously. I love working with this guy. And he's only been working on the show for what?
I love listening to you.
Three months?
Just about 3 months.
And it feels like I've been working with you for 3 years. And I mean that in a good way, not like, oh, God, I got to see this guy again. That's
every morning.
Yeah. No, I agree with you,
like
Scott.
Your long-lost brother.
I agree with you,
really.
Scott. We get along great, and he does a fantastic job here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, my question is, Tom, I'm a truck driver. I look at everything that goes by me and everything, and I saw a car hauler last week had 8 brand-new cheap pickup trucks in it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've heard anything about them or what it's called or what they're going to be like, but they looked really nice. They were small, but
yeah, that is the insanely popular Jeep Gladiator.
The Jeep Gladiator.
Yeah, it is based on the Wrangler. It is a pickup truck. It rides on a longer wheelbase, and it is priced slightly above the Jeep Wrangler. So it is not a direct competitor for smaller midsize pickups. I have spent some time in the vehicle. It is absolutely a gas to drive off-road, and it's pretty nice on-road. But right now they can't make them fast enough. The Gladiator is literally a money-printing machine
now,
for
Tom,
Fiat Chrysler.
Is that because it's just like because Jeep has made a pickup, and they're like, ooh, we got to check this out?
That is exactly what's going on.
Ah.
Yeah, just fans have been calling for this for decades. Jeep built a pickup truck last time, in, I think it was in the mid-80s, when they filtered out something called the I can't remember the name of the pickup truck. Yeah, but it was a small pickup that they built in the 80s, and since then people have just been clamoring for a Jeep pickup, and now here it is.
I guess it's a good truck there, Scott.
Okay, well, I'm going to go check it out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy. All right, there you go. All right, Tom. We got a couple of texts that have come in.
Okay.
815 area code says, we have a 2013 Toyota Prius with 109,000 miles on it, a Honda Accord with 105,000 miles on it, also a 2008 Nissan Altima, 140,000. They drive a lot, 140,000 miles on it. We never changed the transmission or the radiator fluid in any of these vehicles. Every time we go in for service, they tell us we need to change the transmission fluid and radiator fluid. My question is this necessary? Because over the years, people have told me not to do it either.
Oh, here's the thing. There's this old sort of wives' tale myth that with the transmission fluid, if you haven't done it for a long time, you shouldn't do it now. And I've heard a lot of people who seem to know what they're talking about say that, but I don't buy that. You should do it by the schedule in the owner's manual. And I don't know when that is, but it's not frequently, but by 100,000 miles, it should have happened. As for the coolant, you should absolutely do that. The coolant breaks down, which means that at some point it can freeze or it will boil over. Either way, you're not going to get a cooled or heated vehicle. So, yeah, the coolant's absolutely necessary. Getting to 100,000 miles, it sounds a little bit lucky. But, yeah, both of those things are necessary, and they should be done according to the owner's manual.
Okay. You got to do it then. All right. Very cool. Let's see. 224 area code says, I think Congress passed a law regarding backup cameras, but I think the exact year that manufacturers were to comply kept being pushed back. Where does that stand now?
I believe that as of May last year, every car built in America or sold in America was to be equipped with a backup camera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and to the best of my knowledge, all of them now are.
Okay.
That's all light-duty vehicles. This isn't true of medium-duty trucks.
Okay. All right, let's get back to a couple of news stories here. Electric car batteries can catch fire after an accident?
Yeah, this is an interesting story because it kind of got lost, and we haven't talked about it in a long time. But people might remember that in the earliest days of the Chevrolet Volt with a V, around 2011, when those were starting to show up, one of the things that had happened was a vehicle was crash tested. I believe it was by the government, but it might have been by the IIHS. But the vehicle was crash tested, did well in the crash test, and was then parked. And then a week later, it burst into flames.
Ooh.
Yeah, and this is a thing, and they call it thermal runaway, but apparently a damaged battery is something to be taken very seriously. Sometimes it happens at the point of the crash, though not very often, but once they're stored, internal damage to the battery can leave them fairly vulnerable to something like a fire. After the Chevy Volt incident, General Motors began distributing to dealers these devices that drain the battery of energy so that they're not subject to this possibly happening. But there have been a couple of cases recently. There was a Tesla Model S recently that burst into flames. I think it was late last year. But I did some checking. Statistics aren't that easy to find. These fires aren't that common. In 2014, there were six models, and I don't know how many vehicles per model that was, that suffered some sort of battery fire as a result of an impact. It's not common, but it is a big deal if you're someone in the emergency services business who has to know about these things and deal with them.
Well, what are they doing about this? Is there anything that can be done?
Yeah, what has to happen, first of all, if the battery is actually on fire, apparently it's a fairly messy business to try to put the fire out. You need a lot of water and a lot of time. But the batteries need to be drained after an accident, even if there was no fire, because the battery that is still charged is dangerous after an impact.
Okay. Wow, that's crazy.
It is crazy.
I mean, people are keeping an eye on this story now?
It seems to be, yeah. It's not common that this happened. I did read in Bloomberg recently that about 250,000 of the roughly 1 million firefighters in the country have been trained on how to deal with an electrical vehicle accident.
Wow.
So the word is spreading.
Okay. All right. Interesting. This was that story I'm talking about was in the Trib. So it's in the Chicago Tribune if you want to read it in more detail. Another text, Tom. 331 area code says, how is the Kia Soul for tall and wide drivers? I have a 2003 Chevy Tracker, which is not a good fit.
No, the Soul is excellent.
Is it?
It is absolutely excellent for the big and wide drivers such as myself, and it's really good for the tall driver. The only problem for tall folks is that if you're over 6'4", 6'5", something like that, you're going to have a hard time seeing stoplights because the hood extends in front of you, so you're going to have to kind of duck down to see the lights.
Oh.
So that's kind of an annoyance, but there's plenty of headroom.
Okay. All right. There you go. What's going on with Ford? It's not been a good time for Ford, has it?
No, the Ford thing is interesting because it's a little unclear exactly what they're acting on. Ford has announced about 7,000 layoffs, although those numbers include 1,400 people that took voluntary buyouts last year. So roughly 2,000 more people in America are going to be laid off, and then another 3,500-ish globally. Ford is suffering a sales downturn in the U.S. and in China, and some profitability declines in both those markets as well. But it's not entirely clear what Ford is responding to here. One of the theories I have is that Ford is working on a couple of joint ventures that they've been a little bit vague about that may put them in a position simply to require less engineering and marketing assistant. Ford has famously been courting Volkswagen in Europe for a couple of joint venture projects.
Right.
And one of them is to build delivery vans, and that's not a really big deal. The big deal there is if they decide to shake hands on electric cars, which is what a lot of people think they're about to announce. And if they were to do that, Ford would be relieved of needing an awful lot of engineering help.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, they were hit hard by the trade wars, though, right?
Yeah, they are. Ford has not had the kind of success in China that some companies have. General Motors, for example, has done very well in China. In the last couple of years, Ford has introduced the Lincoln brand in China, and that's been doing well. But, yeah, trade with China, of course, is messy, and Ford imports its vehicles to China, which complicates things.
Yeah. Well, we keep an eye on what's happening with Ford then. Okay. So there's a piece that was written in the blog a few weeks ago, Police Van. tell everybody about Police Van. And I love this, you know, when in reading this piece, Tom, it reminds me of the scene at the beginning of the Blues Brothers when Jake picks up Elwood, or Elwood picks up Jake and, from prison. And he's explaining the car that they have, the Bluesmobile car that they have now. And it's got cop brakes, it's got cop shocks, you know, everything. And so I always thought that was really funny because I've always, you know, I've known that police officers and drive different cars than we do, and they're made specifically for, you know, emergency services and police in police work.
Generally, yes, yeah.
Yeah, and but that I always laugh at that. Like, it's got cop shocks, it's got a cop engine, that whole thing. And that's what I thought of when I was reading Police Van. So tell everybody a little bit about that.
Yeah, and I hate to let everyone down, but Police Van is not as cool as it should be. I spend some time, every year or so, I'll spend some time looking around the General Motors, the Fiat Chrysler, and the Ford fleet pages. And anyone can go do this. These are not password protected, and there's some great stuff there.
Yeah.
And the police stuff is totally awesome, because there are some Pursuit Ram pickups that are more badass than I could possibly explain.
Yeah.
But the van, the only company right now selling a van for police use, specifically for police use, is Chevrolet, and this is the Express, a vehicle I think a lot of people don't even know still exists. So the cool part about this is you can get it with steel wheels and get it painted any way you want to, and with the Mars light on top, which is totally cool looking. And it's also available with the General Motors 6-liter V8, which is a fairly punchy V8, so that's cool, too. The bad news is the cop shocks, cop suspension, not there.
Oh, no!
No, yeah, there's no upgrade suspension, and this kind of bums me out.
Wow. And so now you've gone through and checked out some of these other vehicles. They've got to be pretty, some of them have got to be pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, some of them are pretty cool. General Motors famously, and I think you see this all over Chicago, makes a police version of the Chevrolet Tahoe SUV. And that's a pretty good package. That's got some serious suspension upgrades, and that's pretty cool. And I think that retired versions of that are in fairly high demand.
Oh, I bet. I bet. So the police van with the exclamation point even is disappointing.
It is, yeah. I just really thought it was cool. And I may have just gone a little crazy with the headline.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sucked me in, I'll tell you right there, Tom. So, yeah. All right, Tom, we got a couple more texts coming in, and then we're going to get to some of the other stories. And if you have a question at 312-981-7200, and then we're going to talk about some classic celebrity car commercials, which Tom wrote about. And you can see these commercials at the Daily Drive blog. They're there, conveniently located right there. Click onto it and watch these little gifts from God right there. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us. He's great. He joins us once a month, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And we're going to come back and take some more of your questions, talk a little bit more car stories as well right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Give me a 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in right now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Well, the streak has ended. James Holzhauer's streak has ended on Jeopardy. We're going to talk about that and then talk about some of the biggest winners in the game show history. And then we got some inventions and some gadget stuff that we're going to be chatting about. Phone lines are always open. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Our guest right now is Tom Appel. He joins us once a month. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. ConsumerGuide.com is the website. And welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
All right. Couple of texts here.
Okay.
815 area code says, in 2015, Tom helped me when my new Ford F-250 had its turbo go out and the dealer had it for 3 months. It's gone out two more times.
Whoa.
To arrange for Ford to give me the platinum warranty, so it was covered. It has 80,000 miles on it, and it will be paid off soon. What do you think is currently the best diesel pickup? I pull a three-horse gooseneck trailer with it. I'm also tired of getting the drive to the clean exhaust filter warning. Thanks.
Yeah, unfortunately, the clean exhaust warning and the DEF, diesel exhaust fluid thing, that's just a reality now across the board. And the fluid's not very expensive, but I guess it's a pain to have to add all the time. The best diesel is tough to say. The diesel in the Chevy and the GMC and the Silverado and the Sierra, the Duramax diesel, is incredibly smooth, and that's a good way to go. Although I think that, and I don't know if this is true or not, but anecdotally speaking, the Cummins diesel that is in the Ram 2500 and 3500 has a reputation for serious durability. I don't know how well that's earned, and I haven't seen statistics, but the reputation is out there. I think your best bet is probably checking around on a lot of message boards just to see where these things fail, because the guys that own these diesel pickups are very serious advocates of the technology, and there's a lot out there that you can research.
Okay. All right. You helped this person out back in 2015. There you go.
I don't remember that, but I'm glad I could help.
Okay. Terry sends in a text. What does Tom say is the best overall car for the environment?
Wow, for the environment.
Yeah.
Best car for the environment. There's all this argument that the battery, that the batteries in electric cars are not green themselves, that they use a lot of energy and a lot of carbon is emitted in the production of those batteries, and the disposal of them is going to make them not green. So if we just avoid electric cars now while that argument is being made, I still like the Prius. I love the Toyota Prius. It's just a very drivable car that can get 50, 60, 70 miles per gallon. And I really like the new Honda Insight a lot, which is just a hybrid version. It's wrong to call it a version of the Civic. It's a separate model, and it's a little bit more nicely equipped, but that's a very nice vehicle to drive. But another great one is the Honda Accord Hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
Great car, roomy, nice handling, really a great car.
Okay. All right, there's plenty of choices then.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. All right, okay, so let's go to the Hollywood Madness piece that you wrote. 12 classic celebrity car commercials. And after we let you go, after the news, Tom, we're going to play some of the audio from these for the audience so that they can hear just how crazy some of these are.
Awesome.
So you dug these out, looked them up, and because we just, as you mentioned earlier, Matthew McConaughey's signed on again to sell more cars for Lincoln.
He has, yeah.
And you went back in time and in chronological order placed some of these classic celebrity cars commercials. And Abe Vigoda for the 1968 AMC Rebel.
This is a personal favorite.
Yeah.
Abe Vigoda is so awesome. And he's kind of wacky in this commercial. You never really think of Abe Vigoda as wacky.
Right. And not only that, it's like a whole bunch of like, do I know that character actor? And who is that guy? You know what I mean? Like they're all just kind of running around. One guy's in the trunk of the car. One guy, they're carrying the giant engine in at one point.
Yeah, I think every person in this commercial that isn't Abe Vigoda probably had at least one walk-on in Archie Bunker's place.
I think you're right. Now, this next one I've seen many times, and it is ridiculous. Robert De Niro for the 1970 AMC Ambassador. Like, I really want Travis Bickle to sell me a car. That seems real healthy. But this commercial just reinforces every kind of Italian stereotype you can possibly imagine in a minute.
It really does.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I love this commercial so much.
I do, too.
I just watch this commercial during the day for no reason.
Yeah, no, I love it, too. And it was funny when, I guess when they gave, the American Film Institute gave him, like, a Lifetime Achievement Award, they showed that.
Which is only fair. I think
yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now here's
know where he came from.
Here's a weird one. Don Knotts for the 1971 Dodge Strongbox. This is a very strange one. Well, first of all, you write, why would you have Don Knotts be the guy to help you sell the truck?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that they're playing off his tough guy image, which makes no sense to me whatsoever.
<I know. laughs> man, and it's just him. And it's got a very weird ending. It's just him screaming while a woman comes on split screen and says, "Let's interrupt the, you know, let's interrupt the man having the fit here, and I can give you more details about the truck."
Yeah, it's very weird. He's very passionate about panel vans, though, so
yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Shatner, of course, William Shatner for the 71 Plymouth Fury and Satellite. By the way, the Satellite was a cool-looking car.
That's a great-looking car.
Man, when I was watching the commercial, I was like, damn, that's a cool-looking car.
Yeah, I love that car.
Yeah, and so, you know, Shatner's been, you know, he's been around for a long time doing that, but I do love the fact, you know, because Ricardo Montalban is, of course, on this list. You can't not have Ricardo Montalban on the list.
Absolutely.
But I do love the fact that you pulled out that wonderful thing where the ship that Khan steals in Wrath of Khan is the Reliant.
Yes.
And that's from the Chrysler Corporation. So I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah, the Ricardo Montalban commercial is awesome because this is not the first go-round. He first appeared in 1975 for the original Cordoba. This is the replacement, the 80 Cordoba. And as good a line as the rich Corinthian leather is the, "I like what they've done to my car."
Yeah.
I love that
line. I like that too, man. He was so smooth, so smooth. Glenn Ford, all serious, 1978 Buick Electra.
Yeah, this is very serious.
Yeah.
He's very sternly telling us that Buick is known for luxury.
Yeah. And another very serious one, Robert Stack for Ford in 1981.
That's a weird ad, and I had to do a little research on this, but apparently we were pulling out of a recession in 1981. I don't remember it well, and it wasn't much of a recession, but I think that a lot of car buyers were still stunned by the stagflation of 1979 and 1980, where car loans were just really hard to get and
yeah.
very expensive.
Yeah.
And I think this might have been a response to that.
That's what it's, I guess, yeah, after, you know, watching it with that background, that it made a little more sense. But I still,
yeah.
I can't, you know, every time I see Robert Stack, I think of Unsolved Mysteries or Airplane, for God's sake. I mean, that's things that I think of. Wilt Chamberlain for the 1979 Volkswagen Rabbit, and the idea here was, oh, it's so roomy that Wilt Chamberlain can drive it.
That's exactly it. And this is actually a follow-up to an ad from the 60s where he appeared in basketball uniform trying to squeeze into a Beetle but couldn't. So he didn't fit into a Beetle, but a shorter teammate did.
Mm.
So while he's talking about the Beetle, someone sneaks up also in uniform and drives away in the Beetle. It's kind of a funny
ad.
Oh,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, so this is sort of a follow-up to that much later when the Rabbit was introduced.
Okay. And then Ruth Gordon, I totally remember this one. I remember this one, 1984 Subaru Brat. I absolutely, because I love Ruth Gordon.
I don't remember this ad.
Oh, man.
Why would she even know what a Subaru Brat is?
I don't know, but, like, it was just, I mean, it was just, you know, it was at a time, and you mentioned this, Any Which Way You Can and all that stuff. That was what was happening with her. And she was, you know, in those movies, she's on a shotgun, she's on a porch with a shotgun shooting at people. And that's kind of the attitude she has during the course of this commercial.
I don't know if this helps sell Subarus or not,
yeah.
But this is pure cultural gold.
Oh, it's fantastic. James Garner for the Mazda pickup. Here's the thing that you point out, and I couldn't not unhear it, is the way he says Mazda. He says Mazda.
He says Mazda. Now, this is one of the first ads he did for Mazda.
Yeah.
And he did them for several years, and by the end of that run, he was saying Mazda.
Oh, okay.
So I guess they just didn't want to tell Mr. Garner how to pronounce that.
Now, you don't want to give notes to James Garner. Are you kidding me?
No.
And then we got George C. Scott for the Medallion. And then an amazing commercial, Ray Charles in a Peugeot. You wouldn't think Ray Charles would be in a car commercial because he's blind.
Right.
But it's a great commercial.
Yeah, here he is driving the Peugeot 306 through the Bonneville Salt Flats.
Yeah.
And apparently that's enough space where he couldn't do any damage.
That's amazing.
And they let him drive. And by all accounts, he had a wonderful time doing this commercial. So
yeah,
it's really cool to watch.
It is great. It's great. Man, that's a lot of fun. People, check it out. That he wrote some funny stuff, and you can see these commercials if you go to the Daily Drive blog. And we're going to play some of the audio after we after the news, because some of it's very, very, very funny. Tom, it's always a pleasure, and everybody can follow you at Twitter at car_guy_Tom and check out consumerguide.com. And have a good month. We'll talk to you next month.
Thanks. The pleasure was all mine.
Okay, buddy. Take care. Tom Appel, everybody. He'll be back next month. Let's take a break. News is up after this.